20 a.m. and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From Alexander Field to the Central Business District, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Jackson Hewitt.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. It was a shocking start to the workweek at a bank in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. Police say five people were killed, including the shooter, at Old National Bank, across the street from Slugger Field, a half an hour before it was scheduled to open. Governor Andy Beshear.
This is awful. I have a very close friend that didn't make it today. And I have another close friend who didn't either, and one who's at the hospital that I hope is going to make it through.
Police say at least eight people were wounded, including a police officer. The suspect, they say, a former bank employee, Deputy Police Chief Paul Humphrey.
It is clear from the officer's response that they absolutely saved people's lives. This is a tragic event, but it was the heroic response of officers that made sure that no more people were more seriously injured than what happened.
Caleb Goodliff's wife, who works at the bank, survived the shooting.
Their protocol is to get into the vault. Of course, that's a secured location inside the building. They had a phone inside the vault. She was able to reach me. She's fine.
Thousands of faculty members have gone on strike at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Union leader Rebecca Given says they need salary increases, better job security for adjuncts, and guaranteed funding for grad students.
We have bargained and bargained and bargained and bargained and bargained, and we're not getting anywhere.
It is the first teacher strike at Rutgers in 257 years. King Charles will stick with tradition for part of his coronation ceremony next month. He and Queen Camilla will travel from Westminster Abbey back to Buckingham Palace in a 260-year-old coach used at every coronation since 1831. Sally Goodsir is curator at the Royal Collection.
The coach is huge. It's nearly 4 meters tall. It's over 7 meters long. It weighs 4 tons. Because of that, it can only be used at a walking pace, which really adds to the majesty and the stateliness of this great royal procession.
The royal couple will travel to the Abbey in the modern Diamond Jubilee state coach, which has air conditioning, heating, and shock absorbers. Outside the White House this morning, President Biden welcomed thousands of potential young supporters to the annual Easter egg roll.
Ladies and gentlemen, what I see looking across the South Lawn is a country made up of possibilities. Anything's possible, America. If we remember who we are, and we do it together.
The First Lady, who doubles as a teacher, says today's theme was egg-ucation. Dow's down 36 points, S&P off 22. This is CBS News.
Taxes are due. Have you filed yet? Don't worry. Jackson Hewitt is racking up the assists. They will get you filed or an extension before the deadline. Beat the crowds by going to Jackson Hewitt today.
Let's be real. Mopping is a hassle. You have to fill the bucket, pushing a wet, heavy mop around, then cleaning the mop when you're done so it doesn't grow bacteria. A hassle on top of a hassle. Try Swiffer WetJet. With Swiffer WetJet, you start with a fresh pad and cleaning solution every time. And when you're done, you just toss the pad. Swiffer WetJet, the faster, easier, cleaner way to clean your floors.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering professional-grade industrial supplies, plus real-time product availability and access to experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every piece of land has a story. Some right there is behind the wheel of a John Deere 1 Series tractor, like the Upshaws.
This is my tractor, Penny. It's all about attention to detail.
But the Nelsons love cruising around their expansive Montana ranch in their John Deere Gator UV.
We've been here since 1868.
While the Caggianos drive a John Deere zero-turn mower to keep their Long Island brewery looking sharp.
Don't call me, don't bother me. I'm going out to mow for a couple hours.
Run with us and start telling your story. Learn more at johndeere.com/radio.
Weather brought to you by Wisconsin Cheese and Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop.
Home of buttery popcorn treats and make your mouth water.
Tangy cheddar and jalapeno, dill pickle and Texas cheddar, and more. civicmedia.us/shop.
Part of the proceeds benefit Wisconsin athletic programs.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Brian Rausch of Vesper receives accolades for achieving Deer Stewart Level 3 recognition from the National Deer Association. Rausch is the first to receive this recognition in 2023 and only the 67th to have attained this level. Brian founded the Central Wisconsin branch of the Quality Deer Management Association in 1994. Read the full story in the Wisconsin Rapids City Times. Wisconsin Democrats and Republicans are calling for an audit of Wisconsin's veterans' homes after hearing from former staff and volunteers about overworked staff and unsanitary conditions. Much of the focus was on Union Grove in Racine County. The home has been cited for at least 76 violations since 2017 that include failure to investigate reports of abuse, prevent falls, and medication mistakes. Administrator Diane Lynch says, like many other facilities, they've struggled with staffing levels since the COVID pandemic. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 72. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 45. Tonight, mainly clear. A blend of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, highs level off around 76. Low 80s Wednesday, turning cooler on Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Decide to text us. Who's fun to get a drink with in the GOP?
Fantastic. That's so cool.
Pat also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Wisconsin. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin for the noon hour on this April 10th, Monday. And I am so looking forward to our next conversation with our next guest, because since, you know, the protests and everything started in Iran last September, I've wanted to try to talk to people who are in Wisconsin, who are Iranian, and their experience from living here while this is going on. And then I found out recently that one of the largest international groups at UWM, UW-Milwaukee, is Iranian students. And there was an article written up in Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and then a mutual friend of ours introduced us. But Seppi is here in person, and she's getting a PhD in chemistry, which sounds very difficult.
Very smart.
And I'm so excited to talk to you. We've talked a little bit on the phone previously, but I would love to just hear, like, how did you end up in Milwaukee?
Oh, good question. Hi, everyone. So my name is Seppi, as Kristen said. We moved to Milwaukee, like, more than 6 years ago with my husband. He got admission in UWM, so we moved here. And then I got admission, so now I'm here in PhD program in UWM. I'm doing it in chemistry. Yeah. That's it.
And that's it. So you moved here. So your husband was first getting also a PhD of something?
Yes, he got his PhD already, yeah.
Okay. And so, but where in Iran were you guys living prior to moving to the States?
We both live in Tehran.
Yeah. Okay. And so, and Jane had a question.
I'm curious, Seppi, that because the regime is so controlling, I was surprised how many students they allow to leave the country to go to school elsewhere. You would think that they would want to keep a tighter grasp on young minds. You might get some bad ideas.
So it was really funny that during this protest, there was a big protest in really top five university back in Iran. And there was one rule, like punishment for students to do not leave the country. Imagine it's a punishment for them to stay in Iran. It is really
saying the punishment is to stay.
Exactly. So there was one rule. It was recently added to there's rules and everything, but still people are trying to do their best to leave the country, even wherever they can. Because nowadays, everything is awful, financial issues, educational problems. People prefer to leave the country as soon as they can.
And is that the most common way of people feeling like they can, how to leave the country is basically to get like a student visa, whether it's to the States or somewhere else in Europe or anywhere in the world, and like have that be your like sponsorship to get out and then potentially just move permanently?
So one of the easiest ways, I think, for immigration to U.S. is getting it by the visa student. But for the Europe and Canada and other countries, I think they can apply by other ways as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then fast forward, you've been here for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to September 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Can you walk me through when Mahsa Amini first, like that news story first happened, her death was mm-hmm. all over the news, and then the protests started, as far as your initial reaction, how much did you, were you in touch with your family? Like, I can't even imagine as far as like, cause even as someone who's not, has nothing to do with that country, I think mm-hmm. the world watched in support mm-hmm. for a lot of what was going on with the protests and the bravery of so many people. But what was it like actually having friends and family who were still there?
Mm-hmm. I know. First of all, it was not initiated by September. Every year in 44 years, Islamic Republic are killing people, killing innocent people. There are no human rights, no women rights in Iran. So every year we had this opportunity to do the protest, and because people are not satisfied. So, one of the biggest things that happened, it was in September 16th by killing Mahsa Jina Amini. And after that, there were so many protests. They arrested people. They killed people by shotgun or by execution of them. And the worst part for me was there was no internet connection. They shut down the internet, and I couldn't talk to my family. It was awful, especially because my dad was alone there, and I was super worried about him. And after that, I found that my friends, my family are involving in the protest, and I was super worried about them. They tried to get my cousin's phone. They tried to catch him, or he got shot by bullet shots. Even my friends, they were arrested. So I was super worried about each one of them. I mean, it was awful days. It's still awful, but yeah. The first 6 months was all the time back-to-back protests. And on each of this, I was worried about my family, my friends, even the people who are who I don't know them. You know, they are innocent people who they're just looking for their basic rights, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, and that was, I think what I say when with what coverage there was. And at first, like so many news stories, there was a lot of coverage. Mm-hmm. And I certainly saw a ton through alternative medias like TikTok and people be able, because we talked a lot about the Iranian diaspora and how, because so many people leave for school, mm-hmm. the ability, I think, to carry the story and carry individual stories, even as you said, with your friends and your family, of trying to break free of any suppression of the news stories that was happening inside Iran, mm-hmm. stories still being able to get out, still being able to spread through TikTok and Twitter and trying to bring awareness, because the brutality of it
exactly
matched with or juxtapositioned against the bravery of teenagers. And do you think that it is a tipping point? Do you think it what do you think in the last, because you, as you said, it's been 44 years. They've been killing people that dissenters for the last 50 mm-hmm. years. But as far as, was there anything different or special of the last 6 months that you can identify from here? Or was it just that it finally got more attention, it broke through in the international media?
Mm-hmm. So at first, the difference between this protest and compared to 3 or 4 years ago, it was about just people, I think teenagers feel hopeless. That's why they initiate everything. They are super brave, and I'm so proud of them, because they're thinking, if I cannot change this regime, there is nothing for me. There's no future for me. So if I have to live here, I have to fight for it. Otherwise, there is no future for me. So I prefer to be dead if I have to be and live in this situation. That's why they are super brave, and it's totally different. There are numerous teenagers who were killed, which is really crazy. Because I think they were depressed because there is no hope for them. There is no future for them. They have to fight for that.
And so when you say the no future and no hope, mm-hmm. is it because, so like we said, there's a lot of Iranian master's and PhD students at UWM, as there is around the world. Is there kind of a big like class disparity as far as people who have access to, like, as they get older, they get through university and then they can leave the country. And so there is more hope. There is more of a feeling like I can get out versus the people who feel hopeless because there isn't that pathway.
Yeah, exactly. I think most of the people do not have this opportunity to go abroad. Or they prefer to stay Iran because they love Iran.
Yeah.
So they want to fight for that, to stay in the place they love. So I do love it, Iran, of course, but there was nothing for me there.
And that's actually, I don't want to, because we only have 2 minutes until we go to our next break, because mm-hmm. that is, I think, as we talk about the conversations of critiquing the government versus loving your country, and mm-hmm. both things can be true, mm-hmm. I don't think there's any culture or nation that I feel like of my friends who are Iranian that is more true mm-hmm. of people who love their country and love their culture but hate their government.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And so, but I would also just love to, when we come back, we have 2 minutes, because I want to hear more about, like, what do you feel like you can do here? What have people been doing here in your community, besides worry? Because that doesn't always feel mm-hmm. productive. But then also, as the news has not centered on this as much, what any of us can be doing. Mm-hmm. Because I think sometimes it's you share a TikTok, you share a story, you talk about it if you have a radio show. But, like, what more could people be doing? Because it is such a gross violation of human rights, it feels like, from everything I understand it to be. And that we just kind of sit here and watch instead of knowing what to actually do. So we'll talk about both those questions when we come back. We are talking to UWM PhD chemistry student Seppi about her experience of living here while watching, can we call it a revolution?
I would call it.
All right. Yeah. We're going to call it the Iranian revolution that is happening still today. So if you have any questions, if you would like to text in 844-967-2789, but she will still be here when we come back from the break.
Done. I gotta go home. Let me go home. It'll all be all right. I'll be home tonight.
Could there be a better name? Auto Value Parts Stores. They aren't just about air fresheners or fuzzy dice. Auto Value Parts Stores are all about parts, auto parts, and advice. Pros who know auto parts with tons of tips when you need them the most. You want real value? Don't go to a place with a cute name. Go to Auto Value. Could there be a better name? I didn't think so. Your Auto Value Parts Store. We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Family Natural Foods is proud to serve our wonderful hometown. They are a family-run business committed to providing personal guidance to help customers meet their health goals with reference books, natural supplements, and 75 years of experience. You will find organic, local, grass-fed meat, sustainable seafood, gluten and dairy-free products, fair trade coffee and tea, and essential oils. Come visit Family Natural Foods at 910 West Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids.
Hi, this is J.R. Siewert of Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, and I'd like to invite you to tune in to Let's Talk Real Estate. Our next show is coming up, and we'll be talking about those things that are important to you, whether you're a buyer or a seller. So please tune in. We look forward to hearing from you and even taking your questions during the show.
That's Coldwell Banker Siewert Realtors, your trusted source for real estate solutions. Tuesday morning at 10:30, right here on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking to Iranian PhD student in chemistry. Still sounds really hard. At UWM, UW-Milwaukee, CEPI. And we're talking about what it's been like, I guess, as far as balancing being a student, being abroad, while still worrying and trying to stay active as far as everything that's been going on in Iran for years, but also since Mahsa Amini's death last September. And so I guess what has that looked like as far as balancing concern with doing something or feeling like you can do something?
It was really horrible and awful because I felt that my family and friends are suffering some pain back in Iran, and I'm here, I cannot do anything. And after sometimes, I told you that on my birthday, my friends sent me a picture of her shirt, and she got shot in the protest. And during those days in UWM, students trying to do some events to amplify the news to U.S. That what's going on in Iran. And I was super hopeless and super disappointed. And I was like, why we are doing it? There is no reason. Who cares what's going on in Iran? And after I saw those pictures, my friend convinced me that you have to do that. You are over there. You have you can use your stage. This is great opportunity for us to share this news with the world. The world should know everything what's going on in Iran, because back in Iran, they cannot say they are against this regime, and they cannot say that they have problem. They are not happy there. But we can share this story with the world. Maybe if the world can hear us, they can do something. At least maybe they tight the situation for Iran, for regime, to do something, stop killing people, or maybe we can change their regime. This is the only thing that we can do, and I try to do my best to amplify the voice of my friends back in Iran. Yeah, there is nothing else we can do here but just talking about
what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is, and I think that's for any of us who are still learning about it and trying to keep it top of mind despite all of the conflicting and competing news stories that are happening in the world, in the country, in the state. And I guess that kind of, it's kind of a touchy question that we probably don't even have. It's repeated an hour conversation probably, but I think it's interesting to me to try to wrap my head around what's going on in Iran and what true living under a truly oppressive government that is killing its own people looks like versus the conversation we had in the first hour on this show, an ongoing conversation in this country right now, is access to abortion and women's rights and LGBTQ rights and so many different things that are getting chipped away at with our competing parties that want to the world to look a certain way. And so in living here, having come from Iran and lived under the Islamic Republic, do you kind of roll your eyes at us when we talk about certain political struggles? Or what does it feel like to live here in comparison, if that's a fair enough way to frame it?
So basically, living here and problems here, it's not comparable in my mind that to Iran, because here we do have basic rights, but back in Iran we don't have anything. For abortion, for everything that it's a problem here, and I can understand how huge it is. It's of course a problem back in Iran too. The abortion is a big deal in everywhere. Of course, in Iran is also a problem there. And I believe that women has this power that all the religious, all the people wants to take them from them. They want to take this power out of them. And I think it's not really fair in nowhere. I mean, it's not about U.S. It's not about Iran. Everywhere there are some rules which is not fair for women. And I'm so proud of Iranian women that they initiate this revolution. And it's not about hijab, it's not about women nowadays. There are a bunch of other problems back in Iran, but it's been initiated by women.
And we've watched it, and it's inspiring, to say the least. And so I guess on parting words for today, what can any of us do as far as continuing to get educated, keeping awareness, as far as continuing to support what's going on over there?
I'm not activist to give a really reasonable suggestion, but the only thing that as a Iranian lady, I can say that you can just support Iranian. If you are in touch with any Iranian, you can support them. You can understand them. I know that there are many students in UWM are depressed because of everything is happening in Iran, and their advisor, their colleagues cannot understand them. At least if you wear their shoes, you can understand what's going on in Iran, and you can be a little bit nicer.
Hug an Iranian.
Yes, please.
All right, Seppi, thank you so much for taking
Thanks
the time to spend with
me.
Us today. This is, it's so important to hear. It's so special to be able to hear firsthand.
Same here.
Thank you for sharing personal stories and your personal experience. It was really moving.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Minor flooding is forecast in Adams County downstream of the Castle Rock Dam. Several roads are closed in the area. Highway Z and Double H are likely closed. The river is expected to rise above flood stage tomorrow morning and continue to rise until Saturday morning.
the Stevens Point Parks, Recreation, and Forestry Department announced the outdoor tennis and pickleball courts at Gorky and Mead Park are officially open for the season. Wisconsin's DNR posted nearly 3,500 comments on its website on Friday about new wolf management plans. It would eliminate the existing 350-animal population goal. Wisconsin's wolf population is estimated at around 1,000. Some farmers in northern Wisconsin say wolves prey on livestock. Hunting groups also called for the agency to restore the 350-wolf goal. In sports, the Brewers have won 7 of their first 9 games. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life, but for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better,
for worse,
in sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend,
partner,
child,
parent,
neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting maketheconnection.net.
Tired of low or no connectivity? Do you live in BTN, Bug Tussle Nowhere? We want to talk to you. Bug Tussle brings high-speed internet to the places others don't. No contracts, no data caps, truly unlimited internet. Call 877-227-0924.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Lots of sunshine this afternoon with highs around 72. Winds out of the southwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows level off around 45. Tonight, mainly clear. A blend of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, highs level off around 76. Low 80s Wednesday, turning cooler on Thursday with highs in the upper 70s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 64.
Moving out. And so, Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you today and happy to talk about the work of our organization.
Absolutely. So I guess just to start with the foundational question of why is housing so important and why is it such a like foundational piece of providing stability for so many other things, whether it's for, I mean, this is for anyone. Obviously, you guys mostly work with people with disabilities, but as far as
having a place to call your own, and why is that so important?
Absolutely. Yeah. Safe, stable housing is a social determinant of health. That means it's an important factor for people's overall well-being. And it not only impacts folks' physical health, it's an important factor in mental and emotional health, and it provides the stability that we need for success in other areas of life, like employment, education, et cetera. So I'm sure that you and your listeners have heard how difficult unstable housing can be, for example, on children in school, if they're not stably housed, or if there's a disruption in their housing. So that's really the key to success in other areas of life, because it provides a foundation, a literal place from which you can enjoy and find success in other areas of your life. Just imagine, trying to find and keep a job if you don't have a permanent address, or you are stressed by your housing situation. It's a source of comfort and well-being. And then the flip side of that, right, that if we don't have access to safe, stable, affordable housing, the stressors that creates have a lot of ripple effects for people's lives.
Absolutely. And so then with moving out, what are the different services or programs that you have under the organization?
Sure. So we actually are a little bit of a unicorn in the fact that we offer this particular set of services and activities. So we were started by a group of parents of adult children with disabilities, and I can say a little bit more about how this all came about later if you're interested. But the organization started out focused around home ownership opportunities for households that include someone with a permanent disability. And so we are what's called a HUD certified housing counseling agency. That means that our housing counselors have extensive training and continuing training every year, and they have all passed a quite rigorous exam to obtain that certification. So they're highly trained and highly skilled, and work with individuals and households through a range of housing related issues. We have a focus on home ownership with our housing counseling program focuses on helping folks to become homeowners and to maintain their homes. So we have down payment assistance programs that we offer. We are kind of a pass-through agency, so we have funding from a variety of sources for down payment assistance. Some of those are public sources. Some of them are kind of public-private sources of funding for down payment assistance. And then we administer those funds and help get those funds to the families that need them to make purchasing a home affordable, makes the mortgage payments affordable. And then we also have funding from similar sources for maintaining the safety and accessibility of homes. So as people's needs change over time, or as their home ages and needs improvements to remain safe and accessible, then we can help with financing with money for those repairs or modifications. And that goal really of that program, again, is that long-term housing stability, so that somebody doesn't have to give up their home because it's no longer safe or accessible, doesn't meet their needs any longer. We can help them make those modifications so they don't have to move. As disruptive as a remodeling project can be, it's a lot less disruptive than trying to move.
I think I heard once that like the top three things you can go through, like the three most stressful things you can go through in life, is like a divorce, a death, and moving.
That's very true. Yes.
We're talking to
folks are dealing, those things are related, right? Like somebody loses their housing because of a divorce or a death in the family. So often those things are stacked, and those traumatic events can really, really take their toll on folks.
Absolutely. We're talking to Catherine Auerbach, who is the executive director of Movin' Out, which is an organization offering housing solutions for people and families with disabilities. And so you all are based in Madison, but you work statewide, right?
Correct. So in addition to the housing counseling services, that includes information and referral services for folks who have questions about housing, and those services are all provided free to folks who need them. We also have a portfolio of rental properties, and we are a real estate developer of multifamily rental properties. So we have a relatively small portfolio of single-family homes, duplexes, some like four-unit apartment buildings that are rented primarily to people who have disabilities or to a household that includes someone with a permanent disability of any kind. And then we also have we have been involved in the development and operation of about 1,500 units of apartments across Wisconsin. Most of those are in kind of the southern part of the state, but we have several projects in the works in the northern part of the state and northeastern part of the state.
Got it. And so who, because as we said, someone with a disability or as a family member who has a disability. So what does it take to qualify? Because I know I have multiple family members who, one's still a minor, but as far as, is it Down syndrome? Is it physical? Or what is kind of the application process to be considered an applicant for either the rental units or some of the down payment assistance programs? What does that look like?
Sure. So our organization works with folks who have a permanent disability of any kind.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be a particular type of disability, just as long as it's designated as a permanent disability. So this wouldn't be somebody who, you know, is maybe on, you know, a short-term disability situation where they're expected to overcome those challenges. But there are also typically income thresholds.
Okay.
And very broadly speaking, the qualifications are 80% of the area median income, or sometimes it's referred to as county median income, or below. So if the household income is in total at 80% or lower than the county median income, that's the broad qualification. The multifamily rental properties that we develop and operate are usually mixed income. So what that means is that there are units that are designated for different income levels from 30 to 80%, and sometimes a few market rate units included as well that wouldn't have any income criteria at all as far as a maximum. So, and we feel like that mixed income is a really important approach because diverse communities are really the most healthy, vibrant communities, and we want to help support that kind of diversity in a community, in an inclusive community.
Have you found, what is it like to work with inside the communities or the different municipalities? Is it something that is easier some places, harder other places, or is this something that's kind of been needed and different city councils and mayors are excited to be able to work together with you?
That it's kind of a mix. So again, the multifamily properties, mixed income, our organization, we don't include any more than 25% of the units designated as supportive units for people with disabilities. And again, that's because we're really focused on community integration, and we don't want any type of segregation or congregation of people with disabilities or that lowest income level. Really, a diverse community is what we're trying to help support. However, as soon as you mention affordable housing in some communities, in some neighborhoods, we do experience quite a bit of pushback. Because there are just misunderstandings of what that means. Yep. I met a young person recently, like within the last 5 or 6 months, a young person in law school, and he asked me what I did, and I mentioned affordable housing, and he just got this look on his face that told me that he had a very negative perception of affordable housing. And I asked him what his perception was, and he mentioned Cabrini-Green in Chicago. And so, you know, there's still that kind of perception out there that it's, you know, it means things that it just does not mean. Yeah. And so we have a lot of education to do sometimes in those communities. However, you know, more and more communities are starting to understand the importance of having housing that's affordable for the people who work in the community. Teachers, healthcare workers, retail workers, hospitality, you know, those kinds of folks that more and more are struggling to afford to live near where they can find employment. And that is a serious problem for many communities in Wisconsin, that more and more local governments are starting to recognize and begin to address and reach out to organizations like ours to help them close that affordable housing gap in their communities.
Oh, that's interesting, because I was actually going to ask, because I feel like affordable housing, not just for people who have disabilities, but in general, has been, we've talked about it often on this show, as far as how many more units we need across the state, because there is just a lack. Housing is expensive, let alone not only just renting, but owning a house. And so I was going to ask, what can different communities learn from your programs to expand it beyond people who just have disabilities, but working people, people who are, you know, in like living under the poverty belt, of like, what can they learn from you? We only have a minute left, but it's interesting that they're already reaching out and asking for help, because you moving out has been able to kind of figure it out.
Right. Yeah. There aren't easy solutions, because in many communities, there's just a lack of funding to help support this kind of housing, because it does require subsidization to make it work economically. But, you know, show up to those public meetings when you get those announcements about the developments and the, you know, the proposals. Show up to those public meetings and voice your support. Reach out to your local representatives, whether it's a city council or whatever your local government structure is. Let them know that you support affordable housing in your community, and show up and speak out in favor. It makes a huge difference.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Catherine Auerbach, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll put more information about moving out so you can read more about the organization. But thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for including this topic.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Rick Smith Show. where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to FarmSafe811.org.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And let's take a big breath.
Yes.
I feel like this has been a heavy Monday.
Well, unfortunately, we had to start off with another mass shooting.
Yep.
That never makes it easy.
No.
And now apparently, I'm getting this from Raw Story, a shooting outside of a community college in Louisville has left one dead outside with multiple suspects on the loose. This is hours after another shooting at the Old National Bank location that left five dead, including the gunman, and I believe eight injured at this point. So we will keep you updated as the day goes on. But we were talking off the air. It was so nice to talk to Sebi.
Yeah.
About the situation in Iran. And I think so many people still operate under the assumption that the vast majority of Iranians are supportive of that regime. And that's just not the case.
And we didn't, she and I had touched base on the phone before she came on the show. And it's as simple as, I remember when the U.S., this goes back to December, when the U.S. beat Iran in the World Cup. And there were images and video of Iranians in Iran cheering for the U.S. win because they were supportive, because they saw it as a slight against the Islamic Republic.
And
she confirmed that. And she said there was people who got in trouble for that.
I was going to say that's so dangerous in a country like that.
And I think we didn't get to get into it as much as I wanted to because time goes very quickly on this show sometimes. But I think that is the prime example of when we talk, you know, we talk about patriotism and we talk about what is it to, you know, the stupidest thing I think I ever hear anyone say is, you know, if you don't like this country, get out, versus the idea that you can work, you can love your country and want it to be better. And I think when I think of any of my friends who are Iranian, whether their families left in the 70s and they've been in the States for decades and generations, or people like Sepi who have come more recently, and our friend Asan, who introduced us, came, you know, left as an adult and is a dentist and lives here. And he talks, you know, as how different it is and everything, but exactly that same story as far as like, no one supports the government, but you just put one foot in front of the other and you keep going. And so it was really interesting to be able to talk to her, especially because, as she said, she's not an activist.
Right.
She's just a normal person trying to go to school.
She's a student. Yeah.
And so if you missed any of today's, we had three great guests. We talked to Dr. Kristen Lierley
Definitely. The
first hour.
Listen to Dr. Lierley.
Yeah, she's wonderful. So we talked to her in the first hour about the mifepristone limbo,
because
I think it's not banned yet, so I don't want to say it's banned.
Right.
You can still get it. It is in limbo as far as dueling court cases that are trying to protect the FDA approval of the drug versus the challenge to overturning that approval. So we talked to Dr. Kristen Lyerly about that. Then we talked to Seppi, who is a UWM PhD student, about the ongoing struggle and revolution going on in Iran. And then we just talked to Catherine Auerbach, who is the executive director of Moving Out, which it was interesting when she did say that, because that was literally going to be my next question of what can communities learn from your organization on our affordable housing problem,
right?
Which we have sorts of people, not just people who have disabilities. And obviously their organization is focused on people who have disabilities. But as far as the help with down payments, because that is, you know, it's not that people can't make mortgage payments because they're making it in rent payments. It's that upfront
20%.
20%, yeah. You know, and it's like, why is it expected that I can pay $1,500 or $2,000 a month in rent, but the bank won't trust me to do that for a mortgage that could be even less because I'm not getting gouged by a landlord?
Yeah, it's trying to accrue that nest egg of that big down payment that I think is just crushing for most people.
Yeah. So you can listen to any of those interviews or the whole show as a podcast, which you can find on asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or on Spotify or Apple or wherever you find podcasts.
Right. And we're going to keep watching this, obviously, this mifepristone limbo that we're in right now. And we've already acknowledged that neither of us are lawyers. But from what I've been reading about this, Kristen, if this is allowed to continue, the banning of this drug, that means that essentially any doctor can come forward and say this medication harmed a patient over here, and therefore I want you to ban this medication now. So it would
open... Which pharmaceutical companies can't love that.
Right? But they could be getting challenges right, left, and center for a whole bunch of medications if this is allowed to proceed.
If this becomes precedent.
If this becomes precedent, yeah.
Yeah, pharmaceutical companies are definitely not going to like
that.
Yeah,
I wouldn't think they would be very happy.
Because it's
about
not
that.
Even doctors. It would be individuals, right? Arguably, couldn't you say, this was an FDA-approved drug. I took it. I was harmed. It shouldn't have been approved.
Yeah, I don't see why it would have to come from physicians if there's going to be a challenge towards it. So it will... These are interesting days. Lots going on.
Lots
going on.
But in the next hour, we're going to have some fun.
We are going to lighten it up.
We're going to lighten it up with the very controversial topic of participation trophies.
Oh, dear.
Should we ban them? Should we no more participation trophies? You either win or you don't win. That's how life works. Because in North Carolina, there are three... Republican lawmakers who have introduced legislation to ban participation trophies.
Wow, and that seems intense.
That seems a little too far that we need to make a law around this. But the concept in general, are you for or against participation trophies for children? Is it a good pick-me-up because you put yourself out there and you tried even though you didn't win? Or is it creating a bunch of softy wusses that need to toughen up and be more competitive? So we're going to talk about that at the top of the next hour. You can already text in or call in 844-967-2789 if you have strong feelings or a strong story about a participation trophy and if they're good or bad for children. And then later in the hour, we're going to talk about silent barbers. If you could opt in... And go, whether it's your dental hygienist or your barber or anything where you have to make small talk, if you could just opt in and say, I don't want to talk, would you use that option? Would you like to have that option? This is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll talk about both those topics and more when we come back for our No Sour Ha Ha Fun Time Power Hour.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop